and we can have minds that are stayed, fixed, parked on you. It is possible. But we live in a world that is so loud and screaming and simulated and just designed to pull us and distract us and captivate us. Father, give us wisdom, give us discernment, especially those of us that are responsible in our homes. Father, I pray for wisdom and discernment. Thank you so much that you are everything to us, and we need not worry or fear or fret because of who you are. Thank you, Lord, for each person here. Thank you for what we've heard already in the service, and I just pray that you will continue to bless the service. I pray that you would bless Brother Leon as he preaches the word, as you've given it to him. And Lord, we want to also lift up the specific needs in our church. Father, we lift up Sue to you. And we just pray your hand of mercy to be on her. Thank you for the doctors that are skilled and trained, but ultimately you're the great physician. So we commit her to you. We pray for Mary Jane as well. We pray for those that can't be here this morning because of illnesses. I pray a blessing on each person, Father. We want to glorify you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Why don't you remain standing, and we'll turn the time over to the chorister.
Again, in Songs of Faith and Praise, number 67. Song number 67 to open. Was just reflecting in the store, Weaver's Carpentale, yesterday, Friday, whatever, with the customer. He's like, well, when it gets to be about 40, I mean, it feels like it's warm weather. So I think the temperature forecast today was somewhere around there. It's just when the sun's shining and the wind's low, it just makes it feel nicer. And so I think of the beauty outside. So number 67, For the Beauty of the Earth. And I guess if you all want to sing different songs, let me know and I can put you on the song leading schedule. No, that was a joke. Then we will go to Fairest Lord Jesus, sing a song about the qualities and character of Jesus, and then we will go sing a more feeling-based song. I'm sorry. I thought I put There's Not a Friend Like the Lowly Jesus right after that. Number 67.
For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise. For thy church that evermore lifteth on
may be seated as we turn to 288. Number 288. Number 396.
No, not one.
You in the name of the lowly Jesus, one we're just singing about. Thank you, Lee, for the songs. What a blessed time of singing, just lifting our hearts in praise to the Lord. You can relax. You will not be receiving any Spanish this morning. I might be able to say thank you. I think I'd even struggle over that one. But anyway, we had a good time. It was good to be there. If you get the opportunity, please take advantage of it. Just tacking on to Jim there, Jim's what he said about the media. Just like to give you one word of encouragement as we think of what we're facing, and this is my word of encouragement. Immerse yourself in the Word. There's a lot out there, brothers and sisters. There's a lot out there, and we have one who wants to do nothing more than distract us. Immerse yourself in the Word. To get your minds thinking, I'd like to give you a question I saw on the way to church this morning. And this is the question I saw. Is it well with your soul? That's nothing to do with my message, just something extra I added in for you guys. Is it well with your soul? Think about that, meditate on that. Open your Bibles to Matthew 18. It was good to be with you thus far. Thank you for the Sunday school lesson. It's just good to be here together, to worship together this morning. Matthew 18. Jesus begins here by teaching his disciples the real definition of being great in the kingdom. We can cover there verses 1 through 9. Then he comes along a few verses later with the parable of the lost sheep to teach us the importance of seeking lost souls that have gone astray and with the goal to bring them to repentance or so that none would perish. And then in Matthew, in verses 15 through 20, we're seeing Jesus teaching us, you know, how to discipline sin within the church. You know, if someone is, then go take two or three more brothers to bring them back into the fold. And we get to verse 21. Here Peter comes on the scene, and we know Peter. We oftentimes call him Bold Peter, but I like to think that he was listening to Jesus speak in the first number of verses that we read there. But Peter, you ever hear someone talking and you're not really listening because you have something you want to say? And that's how it appears. We get to verse 21. Peter comes along and he asked Jesus, he said, Jesus, how many times am I required to forgive someone who has done me wrong? And when I look at that question, that's what makes me wonder if he was listening earlier, but we'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he was. And Peter didn't elaborate on the offense that he was talking about, although I do believe that Jesus knew what was on his mind. And neither did Peter give Jesus time to answer. Verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? ? And here I'm thinking, well, he didn't give Jesus time to answer. He comes along again and Peter says, oh, till seven times? Is seven times sufficient, Lord? If I forgive someone seven times, is that sufficient? And when Jesus finally had time to answer in verse 22, he said to Peter, no, Peter, not seven times, but try 70 times seven. Or Peter, forgive and continue to forgive. Now we're going to get back to these verses in just a few minutes. Another question for the morning is, what is the primary remedy for bitterness? And I'm sure you're thinking what I'm about to say, and the answer is forgiveness. And brothers and sisters, the message title this morning is choose to forgive. Choose to forgive. Forgiving is actively deciding to let go of grudges and resentment towards someone who has wronged you, and that will allow you to move forward from that point without dwelling on the past pain. And you're thinking, well, that's easier said than done. You are correct. Forgiving will go against our natural inclination, but it is the remedy for bitterness. We might have heard the name Clara Barton. She was never harbored resentments. One time, a friend recalled to her a cruel thing that had happened some years previously, but Clara didn't seem to remember it. So she came back again and said, "Don't you remember what was done to you?" And this was Clara's answer. She says, "I distinctly remember forgetting that." So she didn't harbor on resentment. She didn't hang on to that, allow bitterness to grow. She said, "I distinctly remember forgetting that." Then we think of forgetting. God made a promise to you and I in Hebrews 10:17. He says, "And your sins and iniquities will I remember no more." And here, he's not telling us he's actually going to forget what we have done, but because forgetting is impossible with God. But God is telling us he's not going to hold our past sin against us. Our past sin is no longer going to affect our relationship with him, and neither his attitude towards us when we ask him for his forgiveness. And we're singing about Jesus this morning. What a blessing. You know, here we see that God is going to write off the past as if it never happened. And we all stand in need of forgiveness. We'll get to that shortly. He's going to write that off. Our past, he's going to write it off. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, he expects us to do the same when we forgive what others have done to us. We're going to write it off. We're not going to hang on to that like Claire did. I mean, her example of Claire, she left it go. We need to let it go and write it off. Even for us, I do believe that forgetting may not always be possible. You know, some people have better memory than others, but can you always forget that stuff? Probably not. But forgiveness includes that we will not allow the incident to infect our relationship with that person. When God said, "Your sins, mine, I will remember no more," it's not going to affect our relationship with him. That we need to pass that on to others. When we forgive, we're going to release the offender. We're going to cancel the offense, and we're wisely going to refrain from bringing it up at a later date. Has that ever happened to you? You know, you think, okay, you forgive, that was forgiven, it's done with. Then a couple years later, someone brings it up, throws it back in your face, and that's so harmful. But this way, when we forgive, we're not going to do that. And again, you might be thinking, well, Pastor, it's easier said than done. And again, I repeat, you are correct. But when it comes to forgiveness, our Lord will not command us to do something that he will not enable us to do. He don't say we need to forgive and not give us the power to do so. We also enable us to do that. And there is beauty in forgiveness. It's a power to set the other free. So you give freedom to the other person. But that also allows you to move forward in your Christian journey with no strings attached because you released the other person. So that's why we see the remedy. Forgiveness is a remedy for bitterness. Bitterness is caused by holding on to the offense, allowing the feelings of hatred and revenge to grow within. And what's going to happen is quickly going to handicap the bitter person. And bitter people are bound by chains of bitterness, unable to grow in their spiritual life. And that's why it's so important to release those who have done something to us. We need to choose to forgive, brothers and sisters, because that's the only way that we can grow. Back to bitterness, we are unable to focus on anything but the offender, and we become paralyzed by the situation. But forgiveness is the way out. We set both the offender and the offended free. And church, we need to choose to forgive, and the choice is yours. Forgive and move on without dwelling on the past incident. Point number one, why should we forgive? You know, we live in a time today when there's more talk about our rights and our privileges than about forgiving others. And we hear that if someone has done us wrong, they need to pay in full or beyond. But what did Jesus say? He taught us that we need to forgive as we have been forgiven. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. He gives us the example and tells us what to do. Christ forgave you, Christ forgave me. We need also to forgive others. Jesus graciously forgave us when we came to him. He erased our past record. He restored us back into a right relationship with God. And brothers and sisters, he's asking us to forgive as he forgave us. Another reason why we are to forgive, but did you ever stop and think of where we would be if it would not be for the way Jesus has forgiven us? I don't think we want to dwell upon that thought, but he's teaching us to forgive freely as we have been freely forgiven. We often hear it said, do unto others as you have them do unto you. It ties in well with that point as well. Secondly, is why we should forgive. Mark 11:26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And some situations are hard and they're tough. But brothers and sisters, we all stand in need of forgiveness. And if we withhold forgiveness from others, our Heavenly Father in return is going to withhold his forgiveness from us, which none of us can are at a place where we can handle that. We need to be willing to forgive. So God's forgiveness, his example of forgiveness for our sins, should be a motivation for us to willingly forgive others. To willingly forgive others. True faith produces fruit. And if we truly believe and accept the free gift of salvation, which was purchased on the cross, then we should be eager and ready to forgive others as God has forgiven us. Because he forgave us far more than we will ever be able to have to forgive someone else. We could also ask the question, why would we withhold forgiveness from others? And there's a saying that we need to remember. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping someone else will die. And my point is that if a person drinks poison, who are they harming? Yourself. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping someone else will die. And I repeat, in essence, you're actually hurting yourself and no one else. Here again, we see that we just need to be a forgiving people. Unforgiveness will do far more harm than if we would just be willing to forgive, receive the peace and blessing that always follows, and move on. Church, there is healing through forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the highest of human virtues. Forgiveness is one of the highest of human virtues because forgiving reflects the character of God. When we forgive, we're reflecting the character of God. So as God did towards us, forgave us, he expects us to be quick to forgive, holding nothing against with no strings attached. Just the verse to throw in, Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Bitterness is the opposite, or the absence of peace. We're to live peacefully with all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you. In other words, the responsibility comes back on us, comes back on me. We need to be willing to live peaceably and to forgive. Point number two is forgiving without limits. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Let's read that again. Then came Peter to him, saying, Lord, how often some brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. When Jesus told Peter to forgive there in verse 22, he was to forgive 70 times seven. Did Jesus mean that he was only supposed to forgive 490 times and he was reached a requirement amount and he could require the amount, he could stop forgiving? I think what Jesus was trying to teach us that we're supposed to forgive without limits. We're not supposed to keep track. I don't think we carry a little black book around. Oh, Jim offended me. Make a mark. Oh, I'm at 300 times. I only got a couple more times to go. Then Jim's off my list. No, not at all. Not at all. He is not teaching us that we're supposed to keep track. We're to forgive without limits. So the Jewish practice was to forgive three times. You forgive once, you forgive twice, you forgive three times. That's it. The fourth time, you don't have to forgive. That practice comes from Amos 1:3. So in light of that practice, Peter comes to Jesus, and Peter knows that three is the number, but he wanted to be better than the average law keeper, so he took that number times two and added one and said, hey, Jesus, how about seven times? Thinking that's going to be a generous amount, and Jesus would say, you know, Peter, not a bad idea. The Jews say three, you're saying seven, sure, that is going to work. But Jesus said, no, there's no limit to our forgiveness. Instead, we're supposed to forgive over and over again. Forgiving needs to be a constant attitude. You hear people having bad ones, attitudes I'm speaking of, but here, let's have a forgiving attitude. We are, as believers, we're to cultivate a spirit of forgiveness, not a habit of counting offenses. Imagine having a ledger somewhere with everyone's name on it, and you come home at night and like, okay, I got to make a mark here, here, here. Nah, Jesus said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to have a spirit of forgiveness. It's been said that forgiveness, prayer, and charity know no arithmetic. In other words, we're not going to count this stuff. Just do it over and over again. There's no limits. 1 Corinthians 13, there's no limits to our love. Just over and over again. Prayer, every day, all day. And forgiveness should be the same way. What account comes to your mind when you think about forgiving without limits? In Luke 20, 23, 33, and 34, and when they came to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the thieves on one hand and on the other. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do, and they parted his raiment and cast lots. When you think about forgiving, let's go back to the cross. Let your mind go back to Calvary. And we know the story. But maybe there's a time that's riveted in your mind when you were mistreated. Maybe words were spoken to you that cut deep. And maybe you even uttered the words, you know, I can never forgive him, her, or them for the pain. Or the wound's just too deep. And then we go to the cross, where our Lord, our great example, was crucified. And we take in the scene there. The soldiers had just pounded those nails through his hands and through his feet. Lifted that cross up and dropped it in the hole. Left Jesus hanging there to die. They were given a command to kill, and they carried through. But right after they did that, and they were, picture yourself being there, they were waiting for him to die. Then there came a voice from the cross. And this voice was filled with love and compassion and concern. And most likely, it's the words that the soldiers had never heard at a crucifixion scene. And the words most likely shocked those that were standing by. Because while on the threshold of death, and in the midst of the most intense pain one could ever endure, Jesus spoke. And what did he say? He was asking his Heavenly Father to do what? To forgive the men who have nailed him to the cross. He said, they don't even know what they did. Just forgive them, Father. They don't understand what they just did. And then we sing sometime, he the great example is a pattern for me. And then we look at his example of forgiveness, and we need to apply it. Church, our Jesus Christ is a prime example of forgiving without limits. Because he was at the point, I just mentioned, the most agony that one could endure. And he could have called, as the Bible tells us, 10,000 angels to deliver him, to set him free, to get him out of the area of the soldiers, to remove the painful nails and the crown of thorns, and to usher him right into the presence of God. Instead, he spoke words of forgiveness. Why? Because he died for you and for me. And today he's saying, church, brothers and sisters, just follow my footsteps. Forgive without limits. He gave us the example. Let's follow in his footsteps. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, when we put on the attitude of Christ, the verse tells us what the results will be. We're going to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving without limits. A few questions. Are you holding a grudge this morning? Forgive. Are you allowing bitterness to grow within? Forgive. Did the name of someone come to your mind this morning that offended you? Forgive. Were you reminded of an account that happened to you? And here again, we need to forgive. forgiving will go against our natural inclination. I mentioned that earlier. As long as there is a sense of "they owe me" brewing within you, there will be no healing. If you're here this morning and you remembered someone and you're thinking about that individual, as long as there's a sense of "they owe me one," there will be no healing within. An infected wound cannot heal, neither will bitterness disappear without forgiving. Church, we need to choose to forgive. Jesus forgave just moments before he died, and I'm confident there's no one here this morning that has been called to forgive to that extent. Point number three, the example of forgiveness and the challenge. And this is taken from the remaining verses in Matthew 18. After Jesus told us to forgive without limits, he gives us an example of forgiveness and then closes with the parable with a challenge. And here we see the kingdom of heaven can be likened to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date. So one of his debtors was brought in, which owed him an unpayable amount of money. And the number I have written in my Bible, and I write this down as different speakers go over this account. I don't remember who said it, but the number I have written down in my Bible, let's read verse 24. "And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents." Real quick, how much money is that?
A lot.
Thank you. What I wrote that someone said one time is 52 million. And like I said, I don't remember who said that. Another place I saw 10. Either way, we're going to call it this morning, the amount owed was an unpayable amount of money. So the King James here tells us it was 10,000 talents. One talent of gold was to be worth 20 years of work. One talent of gold, 20 years of work. So it would take close to 200,000 years for someone to pay off a debt of 10,000 talents. So just to get the picture of where this individual was at and what he was up against. I think the point that Jesus was trying to make, that it's not the actual dollar amount like I wrote down here, but that the fact that the debt was simply unpayable. There's no way this man could settle the debt. So the king, we know the story, the king demanded payment, so this man was to be sold along with his wife and family, everything he had. Sell him out, and I guess the king was going to take a major loss because he didn't have that much. I'm sure he would have paid it earlier. So everything had to be put up for sale. Basically, his family's life was over, so to speak, and they were headed for the auction block. And the servant had no choice but to ask for forgiveness, and he did exactly that. "Fell down before the king's feet, begged for mercy. Have patience, and I will pay the amount in full." And I look at that and I'm like, okay, I just told you guys what the amount is, and I'm not sure how he was planning to pay everything back. But take a close look at verse 27. Here we see where the kingdom of heaven is compared to the king in this parable. "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." So take yourself back before the king here. Standing before the king was a man who owed him this large amount of money, and the king was filled with pity and had compassion on him. Is there time for compassion? Absolutely. How many times do we respond with pity and compassion when someone on the street corner stops and asks us for money? Well, we could discuss that for a while, but moving on. What happened here, the king released the man and forgave him the debt. The king had pity on him. He saw his distressed condition. He pitied his family and forgave him the entire amount. And that represents the mercy of God to mankind, how he forgave us for what we have done. We too have sinned. We too owe God more than we are able to pay. We too were about to be cast out. But God extended his hand of mercy. And what did he do? He forgave us. Notice the lessons Jesus is trying to teach this church. Our forgiveness needs to be without limits. We need to be full of compassion, regardless of the level of the offense. What we see here, there is nothing that should hinder us from offering full forgiveness. And that sentence is filled with, it could be quite heavy. But that's what Jesus is teaching us. and the choice is ours. We need to choose to forgive. But Jesus wasn't quite finished with his parable yet. The story turned from the king to the unforgiven servant. If only Jesus would have said that the forgiven servant went out and forgave others as he had been forgiven, which is what he is teaching you and I to do. But this man had an anger problem. He left the king's house being fully forgiven of the amount that he was unable to pay, even though he promised to do so. Then he went to a co-worker's house, and he demanded repayment for the money that he had loaned to him, a small amount. Again, the number that's written in my Bible is $44. A little bit of research on this comes out to $1.25. The point is, the amount owed was basically nothing. The amount owed was basically nothing. He had just been forgiven millions, but went to a friend and demanded payment for something that was less than $50, or we could say even less than two. And the meeting here escalated to one grabbing the other by the throat and then demanding full payment immediately. And verse 29 is almost word for word for verse 26. And his fellow servant, and in verse 22, the servant therefore fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Verse 30, and he would not, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Instead of offering forgiveness like we saw in verse 27, we see a prison sentence like I just read there in verse 30. So others saw what had happened and took this story back to the king. Now look at verse, let's read verse 32 and 33. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have compassion on thy fellow servant as I had pity on thee?" And the point is driven home in verse 34. And the lord was wroth, or very angry, and delivered him to the tormentor till he should pay all that was due unto him. This large debt we just talked about was reinstated, and the burden was placed back on his shoulders. Pain and agony had just returned as the sentence was delivered. Without any hope of release, he had to make full payment for what was owed. And this servant went from freedom, complete freedom, to never-ending slavery because he did not choose to forgive. He was given a debt-free life along with his wife and children. It was all his, and not at his fingertips, but literally in his hands. And then one bad decision cost him everything plus so much more, a life of torment. What's the point Jesus was trying to make here? Church, we need to choose to forgive. And the second part of this point was the challenge. And the challenge we see is in verse 35. So we just went over these verses here and what happened. Then verse 35, this is to you and I. He says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Is that harsh? What's words of Jesus? Jesus said, if you don't forgive, he will not forgive. If we refuse to forgive those who mistreat us, Jesus is saying, God cannot forgive the unforgiving. An unforgiving person is an unforgiven person. Earlier I said we all stand in need of forgiveness, and I think we all agree to that. But an unforgiving person is an unforgiven person. Yeah, verse 34 does seem harsh, but it's precisely how our Heavenly Father will treat us if we refuse to forgive those who have offended us. When we choose to forgive, it puts us in the right footsteps with our forgiving God, because God expects His children to take on His likeness. And over this morning we see how we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. So we're supposed to mirror His image, His example. If we don't mirror His character in our willingness to forgive, then it will actually prove that we are not one of His children. God is rich in compassion and mercy, but he's also holy and just. So if we, if someone decides, you know, I'm not going to forgive, then we should not think that God would be willing to welcome our unforgiving hearts into his kingdom. So in conclusion, the day to consider is judgment day. An unforgiving person will be judged. Well, we will all be judged, but the unforgiving person will be judged as well. So the point is clear and critical. Critical because this subject determines our eternal destiny. It's easy to say, well, I'm just not going to forgive you, Steve, for what you have done. But guess what? That comment that I just made determines my eternal destiny. We're not only to forgive, but to live a life of forgiveness and compassion. We're to develop a nature of forgiveness, gentleness and kindness and mercy and love towards others. Our forgiveness needs to come from the heart. It's a result of the new nature that is within. Having the spirit of forgiveness is so important that Christ taught it over and over and over again. And he said this, forgive as you have been forgiven. And so, church, the decision is yours. Choose to forgive, walk in his footsteps, and look forward to meeting him face to face. But let's be obedient to his command and forgive without limits. Let's stand for a word of prayer. And after the prayer, we'll have a verse of song. Father, we come before you here this morning. It's just so thankful, Lord, for the teaching that you give us in your word. And I pray, Lord, that each soul here this morning could be a forgiving person. Lord, most likely we've all been hurt or offended or wounded. But I pray, Lord, we can this morning, at this time here today, we can just release the offender and forgive as you have forgiven us. Thank you so much for your example. Lord, also your example just to forgive without limits. For your example of forgiving while hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. May that be our spirit. May we just mirror your image, God, and reflect your character and just do exactly as you have taught, God. Give us strength to do that, God. The wounds may be deep, but I pray, Lord, that bitterness could be released and healing could happen, God. And most importantly, we can move on growing in our spiritual journey with you. Thank you for your word. Dismiss us with your blessing. Bless each one here this morning. In your name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Song, please.